1, 2, 3. All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Empress Hour. I got the Empress here.
Hey.
All right, guys. So, you have a lot on your mind. I basically saw a large text message, and I figured, you know, that's something that you probably want to talk about here on the show. So, I'm going to give you the floor.
I don't know if I'm ready to start off with that right at this second.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't tell you about what I was doing. Can we talk about some other stuff first and then transition?
Yeah. That's fine. Well, that's a good segue. I guess I can talk about the fact that China had a robotics expo yesterday. And I was basically looking at a lot of the footage, and of course there's some consumer notes on Twitter that basically said more or less that some of them were actresses and actors, you know, dressed up as robots. And I said, well, you know, part of that's true, because they did show one of the girls, you know, off the stage eating, you know, took off the little robot mask or whatever, it was an actual person under there. But they did show off their animatronics models. We are talking about EX Robotics with this, like, you guys can follow them on Instagram, you know, they have updated, but I think their last one was July. Anyway, you know, it doesn't look like a whole lot of progress has been made, you know, because they have these actresses out there to make them look like robots, but the robots themselves, they don't look like they've gone much further than what I've seen on the Instagram page. You know, they're able to move around to an extent, and I'm talking about their bodies. They can't walk yet. I haven't been able to see one walk yet. Even though Musk, his robot's walking around pretty damn well. Like, I showed in one of my supplemental videos when we were looking at early Tesla bot. The Tesla bot that started out, you know, it was kind of slow, and then, of course, it started moving a lot faster. I'm like, oh, shit, this thing can walk at a pretty good pace. Now, I don't know how long that is till the battery runs out, but from what I've seen, it seems like it can do, you know, a pretty suitable job of walking around back and forth in the factory, which is what its main job is. And, of course, you also have the robot... its primary function, which is to separate batteries. I mean, hey, you got to start somewhere. So that's literally, you know, what they've got this thing working on. And it's cool. Like, I mean, I know that China's trying to show off, like, oh, yeah, we've got the most realistic humanoid robots. But I'm kind of skeptical about the actress and actor idea. It's like you don't believe in the strength of your product enough to just showcase the product. You have to show us actors and actresses looking like the product. It's just, I don't know. It doesn't seem like they've gone as far as they wanted to with the EX Robotics program. And remember, EX Robotics used to be DS Doll. Okay? We remember back in the day when it was DS Doll. And of course, you know, Phil talked about them in the past many years ago when you could still buy DS Doll stuff. Now, of course, it's pretty much China's robotics industry. It's weird that they took a fucking Love Doll company and said, hey, we're going to use you to represent all the robotics in China, which is not actually 100% the truth. It's just the one that is the flashiest. China has other robotics companies, and there was another show they did, I think it maybe was earlier this year, where they had dozens of companies showing off this robot and that robot and this one and that. I mean, it was like you'd show off cars, you know. There'd be different, you know, Honda, Mitsubishi, all these other, you know, different companies showing off their car, but this time they're showing off their robots. And, you know, it's cool, but I don't think we're there yet. Like, I think we're just not far along enough. And a lot of people are like, oh, you're dashing my hopes. It's like, well, it's going to be at least 8 to 10 years before we get something really cool. And I mean, that's kind of the same thing with VR. Basically, one of the guys I work with, he was telling me how they're using VR in the workplace now. And he said, you know, I've looked at it, and he said, basically, the room looks as real as the room here. But the people just aren't there yet. He said, it's going to take a little while. I said, oh, yeah, it's going to take a number of years more. They're trying to test, you know, people out on that new Batman game they're working on that's full VR. It's like a first-person Arkham game, and it does look pretty cool. But I don't know if it's enough to sell the VR concept to people. I still don't think people are sold on VR just yet. And we're on the third generation Meta Quest, and I don't think we're there. I really don't think you can match what people are really expecting from VR, right? I mean, even Valve tried it with their Half-Life kind of tie-in game. And, I mean, it was fun for people, but, I mean, what people really want is what Inzoi is trying to do. I talked about Inzoi yesterday, which might actually interest you because it's supposed to be the Sims killer. I don't know if you're into those Sims type games, but it looks like a more realistic Sims, and you can do, like, way more shit in it. It feels like you can actually just live out your whole life on Inzoi. And I looked at the requirements. I can actually run this shit. But, you know, as I'm sitting here watching the trailer last night, you know, for the video I made, I'm like, do I really want to spend my life, like, living a virtual, you know, a virtual existence? You know, I mean, they show the different people you can make, and, you know, of course, you do everything you do in real life in that game, pretty much. So, it's crazy. They actually show...
Well, I remember when I first played Sims.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that was like...
Oh, God.
I was like, what, 1990s or something? Late 90s, early aughts?
Yeah, same time.
But, my friend showed me all the cheat codes, and, like, I've used it, and I'm going to admit this, I'm kind of ashamed of it, but I created a character, and then locked the character in a room, and watched it die.
Oh, yeah, and then a lot of people have done that.
I felt like I had actually just killed the being, and I felt like a horrible person, and I was like, I don't ever want to play this game again.
Well, you definitely don't want to play Inzoi then, because it's a hell of a lot more realistic when a character dies. They actually showed that in the trailer. A person turned on the TV in the trailer, it malfunctioned, electrocuted them, and fucking killed the character right then and there. I'm like, holy shit. Like, they wanted to show you just everything they're working on in that game. And again, it's much more realistic.
It's the thing, it's things like that, games that are, like, super realistic like that. I wonder if, like, we're creating a being in this synthetic environment, if that synthetic being has as much consciousness as we have in our environment.
Not yet.
And then I feel like, well, we don't know, do we, really?
Well, I mean, it depends. I'm sure they have simple commands, but it's not going to be like an actual world. We're way off from that, but I'm not saying it couldn't happen, and I'm not saying that Inzoi couldn't be the thing that kickstarts it. So, you know, again, this is one of the most realistic games. I think that,
like, maybe there are already beings with consciousnesses that are stuck in their little digital world, and they manifest themselves into this avatar that they think is very real because it's some sort of consciousness, because everything is made out of consciousness.
Right.
So then I feel like some moral obligation with just the 90s Sims characters. So I don't even know if I would want to mess around with
the 90s, it didn't look that real to me. You know, and I've been looking.
No, it didn't look real. Yeah,
I looked at some of the later
but
Sims
I still
games.
Felt that.
Oh yeah, I get it. Like, I looked at some of the later Sims games, and I'm like, it still doesn't look real. But when I looked at Inzoi, I'm like, oh my god, it actually does look real now. So, you know, and there's another thing that worries me. Because Sex Positive Gaming made a video about Inzoi. And you know why, right? Because people are going to create sex mods. Now, there's one big problem with it, with that. Unfortunately, with Inzoi, there are child and baby characters in the game. Like, you can design that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I already was like, well, you know, here's the thing. Basically, they're going to have a police force in the game, like, if you do dumb shit. So, basically, what had happened is we would find some pervert doing something, and we could automatically, well, they'll basically go in there, they'll send their police force or whatever they have, and they'll probably get the real authorities onto that person if they can find their IP and stuff. And some people are dumb enough to actually, you know, do that, and I think that's good for humanity, because if we get rid of those kind of people like that and they just point themselves out like, hey, look at me, okay, well, we're gonna put you in jail where you can't harm somebody else or somebody real,
right? Yeah, but I'm afraid that, like, the way that it already is right now, where mm-hmm. the system is set up, where the people who participate in it they get all their evil deeds kept under the rug, but then, you know, the people who try to fight against it, they're the ones who end up in jail. So,
well,
you know.
I don't know. Well, this is a Korean game.
Will it really happen?
So this is
it just going to be some sort of fake mechanism that they give us to give us another fake sense of peace?
Well, you know, this game is Korean. Keep that in mind. This is a Korean-made game. This isn't a game made anywhere in the West. It's not Japanese. This is all Korean. So it's a completely different thing, and I personally, you know, I haven't played that many Korean games. I've played a bunch of Chinese games. I haven't played a lot of Korean games, so I don't really know a whole lot about, you know, how they're...
I know that they make really good music, but other than that, all I know about the, like, South Koreans is what I've heard from North Korean defectors.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to be a North Korea. When we talk about Korea, we mean South Korea. We don't obviously mean North Korea. They're not making any games that I know of.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that all I know about the South Korean, like, culture is what I've heard repeated from defectors who've made it to America from North Korea. They went through South Korea first, and their experiences with the South Korean.
Sure.
So that's the lens that I see their culture through, and it's not one that I'm too confident that they would actually put any real sort of safeguards up. I may be wrong, I'm just saying that's the assumption I'm making based off of what I've heard about the way that they treat North Koreans who actually escape.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Here's the thing that's going to happen. Because if they do sex mods, which they are planning sex mods 120%, and people are going to put one thing with another, because that's just how people are. People are like, okay, all right, we don't have a problem with your sex mods, but we definitely don't want you messing with the child characters in the game, you know, like that. So, there's going to be some...
For the longest time, Twitter got rid of everyone except the people who were the diddlers and the terrorists.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I know.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
But this,
like,
is...
are they really going to do it?
Yeah, this is Korea. And plus, we're going to have... I mean, it's a big deal when you actually have... Like, there's going to be some people that'll try to defend it. Well, it's a... No, dude. I saw a literal... Like, you can have... You know, take baby pictures. Because you can have a family in the game, right? So, if somebody does the unthinkable in a game like that, of course, there's going to be some action taken. There's going to be articles written about it. And you know all these Western rags, like some of the ones that I read... Futurism, for example, Futurism, which is owned by Vice. Articles like that, which will come out. Sex mods in Inzoi. Is it safe? And then they'll go in there and they'll put all this. And people are like, oh my God, I didn't realize they had that kind of thing. And you'll have old grandpa that's never even heard of the game, and he'll get all upset. Or, you know, all these 50-year-old boomers, 60-year-old boomers, they get all upset. And then finally, Inzoi has to do something. Now, what they'll probably do is try to ban adult mods from the game. because they probably literally do not want adult content in their game. By the way, there isn't anything in the trailer that even suggests so much as anything more than marrying somebody and having a family. There was no sexual content of any kind showed in that trailer. Nothing. So, whatever they do, it's probably going to be looked on by the creators as a pretty bad thing. And if I'm not mistaken, I think porn is kind of banned in Korea. I can check that real quick, but I think it's banned in Korea. And if it is, then yeah. Oh, there's my games again. Let's see. Censorship in South Korea. Games for Geeks website. Oh, yes. Pornography is completely illegal in South Korea. The production, consumption, or distribution of pornographic materials, including magazines, internet videos, and other forms, is prohibited. So, there is probably going to be some real big issues with people making, especially child pornography, which they will try to say with this game, if they do make that kind of thing. So, yeah, we have to think about that. And what I think is going to happen is Korea's going to be like, no, I'm sorry. This is banned in our country, so we can't let you distribute this. Which, you're going to have some backlash. Well, Korea is authoritarian, you know. But no, they're just doing what's literally illegal in their country. Like, you know, we're game developers. We don't want to go to jail because somebody in another country developed adult mods for our game, which, you know, will not have any kind of content like this. So, it's going to be a weird situation because The Sims, as you know, has a lot of adult content. But that's because it is made in the West, right? So, adult content here is, you can't have it. So, that's what's going to happen. And you're going to have some fighting on the left because there will be some people that want this. But I mean, it's a mess. I really think, though, that people need to realize that this is banned in Korea. You know? So, anybody that's thinking about making any Enzoi mods, even if, you know, like, for most human people, most adult, and I say human because I think anything, you know, super depraved is inhuman. Like, humans, people that are actually capable of conscious thought, rational thinking, don't do depraved things, right? So, what I'm saying is if you're actually a real, you know, human being with a moral consciousness, and you want to make an adult mod, you're going to make it with consenting adult characters, right? But, the thing is, yeah, you have these kinds of people, and you got it that it's banned, too. So, it's just not going to happen. Like, that's it. That's literally all. That's the end game. I mean, there are already forums talking about it. I've heard just from comments I've been reading, like, oh, yeah, they've been discussing this in forums now for a while about adding adult mods. Well, I mean, it's just going to be a problem. It's like, oh, we're gonna put, say you ban cigarettes in your country, right? And then this other country comes over and says, hey, we've got a mod to add cigarettes to your game. And you're like, uh-uh, I don't want to go to jail because you're putting cigarettes in my game. We can't smoke here. So that's what's going to happen. That's what I think, anyway. But now that there's a ban, and I know there's a ban, they got no reason to be doing that.
That's that's a ban in their country, though. Yeah. I wonder if it'll carry over to here.
Well, they'll probably be held responsible. That's the problem. The Korean government will hold them responsible. The developers. The developers of the game will be held responsible. Mm. And that's why they'll... Now, what they'll do first is they'll find the shit out of them. I don't think they're going to directly arrest them. I don't know how that works. Maybe they will. It's a different country. So, maybe what they'll do is they'll find them first. And they're like, okay, you have certain days to remove this content or block this content from our servers. And we're talking about game servers, which are, you know, going to be all over the world. So, yes, there will be people upset about this. And they may even go back to The Sims. And EA may cheer because they're like, oh, they'll come back to our Sims 5 game because they can have their adult content in our Sims 5, which I'm sure they were working on or are still working on at the time. So, that might be the thing that kills Enzoi. It just depends. Because you got to understand, the biggest thing that people are into when it comes to Sims right now is that adult content. So if you don't have it, I don't know how people are going to react. But yeah, it's interesting to think about. It's interesting to think about. Now, me personally, like, I mean, I was talking about it last night. Like, it looks better than Honey Select. Sure it does. But now that I know that content is banned, like, I'll actually have to release this video. I'll release this video first before I release that one. But now that I know it's banned, like, there's really not much you can do about it. I mean, they can't arrest you in America. They can't do that. But what they can do is block it. They're like, I'm sorry, anybody that's caught with this material or using these mods is blocked from our servers. Which means they literally take out your account. Even if you paid $60 or $70 or $100 for the game, you lose access to play the game. So, we don't know what could happen. It's a really interesting situation. Because people are already making sexy Korean babes on there. I've already, you know, I've seen what some people are designing. And, I mean, not being able to do anything with them, that probably will have a lot of people leaving the game. It's like, what do you mean I can't do? It's banned in Korea, man. Oh, well, that sucks. I guess I'm going back to The Sims or Honey Select. I guess you are. Like, I mean, that's really all I can say. You know, it is what it is. But, yeah, we do have to respect other cultures. If a culture says, uh-uh, then we don't need to put it on there. And what really is kind of disrespectful then is that these people would make this mod, and I'm sure they have enough information about South Korea to know that it's banned there. So, I don't...
I mean, we figured it out.
I don't know what... I don't know what's going to happen then. It's just...
That's insane, though. I wonder what the people are like with no porn being there. With no porn, if they're not allowed to have porn...
They have softcore. They have softcore porn. They don't have hardcore. They have softcore. That's what they mean by no porn.
What are their sex work laws?
That's a good idea. That's a good question. Let me bring that one up. Prostitution in South Korea is illegal, but according to Korea Women's Development Institute, the sex trade in Korea was estimated to amount to 14 trillion South Korean. That's 13 billion in 2007, roughly 1.6 of the nation's GDP. According to a survey conducted by the Department of Urology at the Korea University College of Medicine in 2015, 23.1% of males and 2.6% of females ages 18 to 69 had sexual experience with a prostitute. The sex trade involved some 94 million transactions in 2007, down from 170 million in 2002. The number of prostitutes dropped by 18% to 269,000 during the same period. The amount of money traded for prostitution was over 14 trillion won, much less than 14 trillion won in 2002. Despite legal sanctions and police crackdowns, prostitution continues to flourish in South Korea while sex workers continue to actively resist the state's activities. All right, so...
Well.
A 2010 investigation. 2010 investigation suggested that 20% of seniors seek out sex workers. Let's see.
Old people want to get their dicks wet, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, the British women do it too. Like, yeah. There's a bunch of British women that go to the British islands, and they hook up with the dudes over there.
Right. Well, I'm seeing
it's like the old ladies' passport bros group.
Korean prostitutes in foreign countries. Japan. In 2013, police broke up a racket trafficking women to Japan from Korea. 2014 was reported that websites promoting South Korean prostitutes in Japan have been blocked within South Korea by the government. So, we can go on and say that this is definitely not something that is... I mean, I'm looking at New York Times right now. New York Times, South Korean court upholds ban on prostitution. That's 2016. 2018, Al Jazeera, sex workers hit hard by government's crackdown. Whoops. Some odd reason my thing kind of froze. Let's refresh that a little bit. I don't know. Sometimes my browser just does some stupid crap. All right, let's try it again. Yeah, South Korea, sex workers hit hard by government's crackdown. I'm not seeing anything else. Let's see, why does Korea tolerate open prostitution? That's Reddit. I'm not going to believe that. They can say whatever. United States military and prostitution in South Korea? I'm not seeing a whole lot here. Sex crimes in Korea, the 2023 Korean Criminal Code. Why do people hate us? Sex workers in Seoul's last red light district. Oh, wow. So, apparently there is a red light district in Korea. Sex workers in Seoul's last red light district fret over future. It looks like they're getting rid of all of it. Yeah. Woo, shit. They're getting rid of all prostitution, sex work, everything. You know why they're trying to do that, right? They're trying to stabilize their births. They have very, very, very low birth rates in Korea. We're talking below average birth rates. Korean birth rates are shit. Korean birth rates reached a record low, with an average number of births per woman falling to 0.72. That's not even 1%. The crude birth rate in South Korea has been declining steadily, dropping to 4.5 newborns per 1,000 people in 2023, down from 4.9 in 2022. Since 2018, South Korea has been the only OECD member with a birth rate below 1. So, the experts say that there's high child rearing costs, sky high real estate prices, rising economic anxiety, pressure on young Koreans to work long hours and prioritize career advancement over family planning. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it where people work themselves to death and can't have any way to relieve themselves other than to go find somebody and have sex with them. And the women are not interested in being mothers. Let's see.
Sorry. That's crazy. Oh my gosh. So what's... Oh man. So like... I guess they have to use VPNs or something to watch porn?
Yeah. There's basically some opinion pieces. Several of them. Women are fed up with the traditionalist society's impossible expectations of mothers, so they're on strike against being baby-making machines. This is 2023. Yeah. BBC, why South Korean women aren't having babies? Let's see. National emergency. Nearly half the population will be older than 65 in just 50 years' time. Governments have thrown money at the problem for nearly 20 years, and it's not working. Let's see. Yeah. I know too much. I'm just looking at everything here. It just seems to be they're overworked. And they don't feel that women are equal over there. So that's also what they consider a pressure. Because again, they don't want to be baby-making machines, apparently. And I don't know, it's weird. They said over there...
It seems that the women have to work as well.
Yeah. They work like crazy over there. They work them, yes. They're doing like they're doing here, almost.
So, except they're not having any feminist pushback. So the women are being expected to, is that so? Like, my assumption is the women are being expected to work and take care of the household and take care of the husband.
No. They don't even get that far. All right. It says on a rainy Tuesday afternoon, Yejin is cooking lunch for her friends at her apartment where she lives alone on the outskirts of Seoul, happily single. While they eat, one of them pulls up a well-worn meme of a cartoon dinosaur on her phone. Be careful, the dinosaur says. Don't let yourself become extinct like us. The women all laugh. It's funny, but it's dark because we know we could be causing our own extinction, says Yejin, a 30-year-old television producer. Neither she nor any of her friends are planning on having children. They're part of a growing community of women choosing the child-free life. South Korea has the lowest birth rate in the world and continues to plummet, beating its own staggeringly low record year after year. Figures released on Wednesday show it fell by another 8% in 2023 to 0.72. This refers to the number of children a woman is expected to have in her lifetime. For a population to hold steady, that number should be 2.1. If this trend continues, Korea's population is estimated to halve by the year 2100. Alright. So, couples who have children are showered with cash, from monthly handouts to subsidized housing and free taxis. Hospital bills and even IVF treatments are covered, though only for those who are married. Such financial incentives have not worked, leading politicians to brainstorm more creative solutions like hiring nannies from Southeast Asia and paying them below minimum wage and expecting men from serving in the military. Exempting men from serving in the military if they have three children before turning 30. Unsurprisingly, policymakers have been accused of not listening to young people, especially women, about their needs. And so over the past year, we have traveled around the country speaking to women to understand the reasons behind their decision to not have children. When Yejin decided to live alone in the mid-20s, she defied social norms. In Korea, single living is largely considered a temporary phase in one's life. But 5 years ago, she decided not to get married and not to have children. It's hard to find a dateable man in Korea. One who will share the chores and the childcare equally, she tells me. And women who have babies alone are not judged kindly. In 2022, only 2% of births in South Korea occurred outside of marriage. A perpetual cycle of work. Instead, Yejin has chosen to focus on her career in television, which she argues doesn't allow her enough time to raise a child anyway. Korean work hours are notoriously long. Yejin works a traditional 9-to-6 job, which is the Korean equivalent of a 9-to-5, but says she usually doesn't leave the office until 8 p.m., and there's overtime on top of that. Once she gets home, she only has time to clean the house or exercise before bed. I love my job, and it brings me so much fulfillment, she says, but working in Korea is hard. You're stuck in a perpetual cycle of work. Yejin says there's also pressure to study in her spare time to get better at her job. Koreans have this mindset that if you don't continuously work on self-improvement, you're going to get left behind and become a failure. This fear makes us work twice as hard. Sometimes, sometimes at the weekends, I go and get an IV drip just to get enough energy to go back to work on Monday. She adds casually, as if this were a fairly normal weekend activity. She also shares the same fear of every woman I spoke to, that if she were to take time off to have a child, she might not be able to return to work. There's an implicit pressure from companies that when we have children, we must leave our jobs, she says. She has watched it happen to her sister and her two favorite news presenters. One 28-year-old woman who worked in HR said she'd seen people who were forced to leave their jobs or who were passed over for promotions after taking maternity leave, which had been enough to convince her never to have a baby. Both men and women are entitled to a year's leave during the first 8 years of the child's life. But in 2022, only 7% of new fathers use some of their leave compared to 70% of new mothers. Korean women are the most highly educated of those in OECD countries, and yet the country has the worst gender pay gap and a higher than average proportion of women out of work compared to men. Researchers say this proves they are being presented with a trade-off. Have a career or have a family. Increasingly, they're choosing a career. I met Stella Shin at an after-school club where she teaches five-year-olds English. Look at the children, they're so cute, she cooed. But at 39, Stella does not have children of her own. It was not an active decision, she says. She's been married for 6 years, and both she and her husband wanted a child, but were so busy working and enjoying themselves that time slipped away. Now she has accepted that her lifestyle makes it impossible. Mothers need to quit work to look after their child full-time for the first 2 years, and this would make me very depressed, she said. I love my career and taking care of myself. In her spare time, Stella attends K-pop dance classes with a group of older women. This expectation that women take 2 to 3 years off work when they have a child is common among women. When I asked Stella whether she could share the parental leave with her husband, she dismissed me with a look. It's like when I make him do the dishes and he always misses a bit. I couldn't rely on him, she said. Even if she wanted to give up work or juggle a family and career, she said she could not afford to because the cost of housing is too high. More than half the population live in or around the capital, Seoul, which is where the vast majority of opportunities are, creating huge pressure on apartments and resources. Stella and her husband have been gradually pushed further and further away from the capital into neighboring provinces and are still unable to buy their own place. Seoul's birth rate has sunk to 0.55, the lowest in the country. Then there's the cost of private education. While unaffordable housing is a problem the world over, this is what makes Korea truly unique. From the age of 4, children are sent to an array of expensive extracurricular classes from math to English to music and taekwondo. The practice is so widespread that to opt out is seen as setting your child up to fail, an inconceivable notion in hyper-competitive Korea. This has made it the most expensive country in the world to raise a child. A 2022 study found that only 2% of parents did not pay for private tuition, while 94% said it was a financial burden. As a teacher at one of these cram schools, Stella understands the burden all too well. She watches parents spend up to 700, whatever Korea dollars is, $890 per child a month. $890 per child a month. Think about that. Many of whom cannot afford it. But without these classes, the children fall behind, she said. When I'm around the children, I want to have one, but I know too much. For some, this system of excessive private tuition cuts deeper than cost. Minji wanted to share her experience, but not publicly. She's not ready for her parents to know she will not be having children. They'll be so shocked and disappointed, she said, from the coastal city of Busan, where she lives with her husband. The one with the zombies, but they don't have them there. Like, you won't find any zombies in Busan. Minji confided that her childhood and 20s had been unhappy. I spent my whole life studying, she said, first to get into a good university, then for her civil servant exams, and then to get her first job at 28. She remembers her childhood years spent in classrooms until late at night, cramming math, which she loathed and was bad at, while she dreamed of being an artist. I've had to compete endlessly, not to achieve my dreams, but just to live a mediocre life, she said. It's been so draining. Only now, age 32, does Minji feel free and able to enjoy herself. She loves to travel and is learning to dive. But her biggest consideration is that she does not want to put a child through the same competitive misery that she experienced. Korea is not a place where children can live happily, she's concluded. Her husband would like a child, and they used to fight about it constantly. But he has come to accept her wishes. Occasionally, her heart wavers, she admits, but then she remembers why it cannot be. Over in the city of Daejeon, Jeonjin-chun is in what she calls a single parenting marriage. After picking up her 7-year-old daughter and 4-year-old son from school, she tours the nearby playgrounds, passing the hours until her husband returns from work. He rarely makes it home by bedtime. That does not surprise me. I didn't feel like I was making a major decision having children. I thought I'd be able to return to work pretty quickly, she said. But soon after, the financial and social pressures kicked in, and to her surprise, she found herself parenting alone. Her husband, a trade unionist, did not help with the childcare or the housework. I felt so angry, she said. I'd been well educated and taught that women were equal, so I could not accept this. That sits at the heart of the problem. Over the past 50 years, Korea's economy has developed at breakneck speed, propelling women into higher education and the workforce, expanding their ambitions, but the roles of wife and mother have not evolved at nearly the same pace. Frustrated, Jeonjin began to observe other mothers. I was like, oh, my friend who's raising a child is also depressed, and my friend across the street is depressed too. And I was like, oh, this is a social phenomenon. She began to doodle her experiences and post them online. The stories were pouring out of me, she said. Her webtoon became a huge success as women across the country related to her work, and Jeonjin is now the author of 3 published comic books. Now she says she is past the stage of anger and regret. I just wish I'd known more about the reality of raising kids and how much mothers are expected to do, she said. The reason women are not having children now is because they have the courage to talk about it. But Jeonjin is sad. She says that women are being denied the wonder of motherhood because of the tragic situation they'll be forced into. Minji says she's grateful she has agency. We're the first generation who get to choose. Before it was a given, we had to have children. And so we chose not to because we can. Back at Yeonjin's apartment, after lunch, her friends are haggling over books and other belongings. Fatigued with life in Korea, Yeonjin has decided to leave for New Zealand. She woke up one morning with a light bulb realization that no one's forcing her to live here. She researched which countries ranked highly on gender equality, and New Zealand emerged a clear winner. It's a place where men and women are paid equally, she says, almost disbelievingly. So I'm off. I asked Yeonjin and her friends what, if anything, could convince them to change their minds. Min Sung's answer surprises me. I'd love to have children. I'd have 10 if I could. So what's stopping her, I ask. The 27-year-old tells me she is bisexual and envisages having a same-sex partner. Same-sex marriage is illegal in South Korea. Wow, that's another thing that is illegal in South Korea. And unmarried women are not generally permitted to use sperm donors to conceive. Hopefully one day this will change and I'll be able to marry and have children with the person I love, she says. The friends point out the irony, given Korea's precarious demographic situation, that some women who want to be mothers are not allowed to be. It appears politicians might slowly be accepting the depth and complexity of the crisis. This month, South Korea's President Yoon Suk-yeol, acknowledged that the attempts to spend their way out of the problem hadn't worked, and that South Korea was successfully and unnecessarily competitive. He said his government would now treat the low birth rate as a structural problem, though how this will translate into policy is still to be seen. Earlier this month, I caught up with Yeonjin from New Zealand, where she had been living for 3 months. She was buzzing about her new life and friends and her job working in the kitchen of a pub. My work-life balance is so much better, she said. She can arrange to meet her friends during the week. I feel so much more respected at work, and people are less judgmental, she added. It's making me not want to go home. So that's what's going on in Korea, for those of you that want to know what's going on in Korea. This is all important because this is where that game is being developed, right? And I would probably consider it men working on it. I don't know. Maybe there's some women because they do say that men and women are, you know, working their asses off over there. But I don't know how they're going to do the same sex thing, because, you know, they're trying to promote this game everywhere, and they did have a couple of characters that looked a little LGBT, like just the look of the characters. So I'm like, how are they going to get by with this? And that might be the same thing we were talking about with the adult stuff. So I literally don't know what's going to happen. But I'm giving you guys some insight on the country itself and what's going on with the birth rate and all that, just so I can kind of give you the background for the country where this game is being made. And it's about to come out. By the way, a lot of people can run this game on PC, but it is being ported to consoles. The console ports are going to come later, according to a friend of mine who is absolutely obsessed with this game. She said she's been looking at every little bit of footage that she can, and she's waiting for beta testers to leak the footage so that she can see even more of the game. Yeah. She's also unmarried, childless, child-free. She doesn't want any kids. And over 30. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's basically what's going on.
I mean, I kind of called it on that. Like, I just gotta say, without really knowing what was going on.
Well,
I mean, I'm kind of right. So the women are expected to still work and take care of the. Or they're expected to basically stay at home and take care of everything and do everything by themselves. So basically they're solo parenting, which is a sad existence.
Yeah.
Especially when you've been educated and hyped up and like, yeah. And then that they make it so that these same-sex couples can't conceive children, but they're worried about their numbers.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what they're going to do.
It makes no sense.
I don't know what they're going to do. It's a real crazy situation. I mean, as you know, Korea is getting very popular in the West. Not just their music, but their anime and their games and things like that. Which, a lot of them are based around romance, which is something the country isn't really having quite a lot of. Sure, there's a lot of these, there's some of these marriages going on still, but the reality of it is that the husband works all the time, he gets home late, doesn't have really time to do much of anything, so there's probably not a lot of chances to date or take her out to eat or anything, you can't really enjoy having the other person there, because it just feels like you're a workhorse, right? Both people are workhorses. Mm-hmm. They don't really have time to spend with each other. And the kids are just thrown in all these classes to learn everything in the universe. And they don't really get a childhood. Mm-hmm. So when they make these kind of games, it's almost like the government kind of had some kind of funding with this. Because maybe they want people to live out the lives that the government can't give them, you know? Like, they're like, I'm sorry, you have to work hard in Korea, and you have to do all this stuff, so you can't really enjoy this stuff in real life, but in this game, you can. It's a world where you don't have to worry about all that. So, this game may pop off
or just,
Korea.
Like, some sort of release, at least, some sort of outlet.
Yeah.
So this virtual, you know, you can't do it in real life, but you can do it virtually. So I guess they're hoping to replace the real life with the virtual life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what's happening. But we're actually starting to see more of these different games. Like, you know, Wukong, of course, came out. That was a big AAA game for China. And it did really, really well and had the largest single-player count recorded on Steam. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And they said 60% of it was Chinese, because the game came out in China and the West on day one. So, that's pretty big. And people were like, oh, it'll go down, it's not going to be a big thing. Nah, I doubt it. I'm pretty sure that the game will still do well. Matter of fact, let me check that real quick.
I'm wondering what the porn and prostitution stuff is for China as well. Because this is very fascinating, because, you know, like, that was kind of what I had talked about in the messages, which is, you know,
mm-hmm.
Well, basically, it's a porn experience.
Hmm.
That sounds really awkward, but yeah, like, so I'm having a pornography experience. I'm dealing with it here in the West and in my personal life. And I'm just really interested to see, like, what's going on over there? What are they doing? And how is it manifesting in their relationships? I know that Chinese men are not able to get married right now.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're having a hard time getting married right now. And this is something that I heard about, like, it's contributing to human trafficking, especially of any of the leftover North Korean defectors. Like, they get bought out by a village full of men and just get, like, cycled through the men until they die.
Why, millions of Chinese men are staying single. More than a quarter of Chinese men in their 30s will not have married by 2030. No one in China wants to get married anymore. Wow, why China's young people are not getting married? Why people aren't getting married in China at all? Man, it's pretty crazy. I mean, they say gender imbalance, women's priorities, government efforts, and of course, government has attempted to encourage young people, but the efforts have been met with resistance. So, let me tell you what's going on with China. Chinese men are gamers. Like, big gamers. Obviously, we can go back to the Wukong stats for that. There were 2,415,714 people on Wukong the day it came in. That is... that was 60% Chinese people. So, let me do some math here.
Sorry if there's a lot of extra noise. I'm doing house chores.
That's fine. I don't mind.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 60% of... Oh, shit. Hold on. Just give me a second. I thought I could do mm-hmm. it like this, but it didn't work. All right. 60% of... All right. 60% of... Oh, damn it. Let's just go with 2.4 million. All right. It is... 60% of 2.4 million is 1.44 million. So about... Yeah, a little over half. A little over half. That means that... It was 1 million people from all over the world and a little over 1 million people from China. So what's the population of China?
Mm-hmm.
Population of China is 1 billion. 1.4 billion. That's a lot of people. And it's been growing steadily. Not so steadily. Actually, it seems to be going down. In 2022, it was 1.425. And 2023, it's 1.422. And now it's 1.419. So it hit its peak in 2022. And now it's slowly declining. I wonder what happened in 2022. Let me look at something. When did Genshin Impact come out? I want to see if that has a... No, it started in 2020, so it wouldn't be that. I was thinking, maybe it was Genshin Impact. They said, well, okay, hold on. No, I'm wrong. This is funny, guys. Because it was 1.426 in 2020. That was the highest it ever got. So in 2022, it was down to 1.425. Genshin Impact released in 2020. That's the same. That was the same year that China's population started to decline. I'm not saying there's
that is
anything.
Quite a correlation, you found.
I'm not saying there's any connection there, but it's pretty damn interesting that Genshin Impact debuted the same time that China's population started going down.
So you think that? So you're saying that the dudes are gamers, so they're too busy gaming?
Yeah, and the waifu thing. The waifu thing. Because a lot of guys, I don't know, maybe the gamers, you know, they want these waifus now. There's the population, there's the prior, okay, there's an idealization of waifu culture. Waifu is an idealized, cutesy version of a woman from anime, but let's go ahead and let's see what the description here. Waifu.
Yeah, I want to know more about what a waifu is.
All right. I don't want to do that. Let's see. Origin. Waifu originates as a Japanese borrowing and rendering of the English word wife. I knew that. Evidence for the term in Japanese dates back to at least the 1980s, when some younger Japanese people may have adopted wife as an alternative to gender limitations implied by the traditional term kanai, which literally means inside the house. Well, I'll be damned, Japan. You don't want to call him kanai anymore. You might get slapped. Waifu developed a more specialized meaning in English-speaking anime and manga culture, however. In the 2002 anime Azumanga Daioh, which I haven't watched, some students find a photograph a teacher has dropped and ask who the woman in it is. The teacher replies, "My wife," in English, which is often transcribed as "my waifu," thanks to Japanese pronunciation and transliteration practices. Anime fans began using waifu to refer to a character they were particularly fond of, one they viewed as being special to them. The earliest urban dictionary entry for this use of the word dates back to 2007, and there's evidence that the term dates back in its anime sense to at least 2006. It's also spread outside the anime fandom so that characters from video games or even live-action television shows can be called waifu. Who uses waifu? Well, the male equivalent of waifu is husbando. However, this likely isn't taken from an actual Japanese loanword, as the Japanese borrowing of husband is hazu. Oh, I didn't know that. In anime and related otaku culture, waifu can be used with varying levels of intensity and is subject to varying degrees of ridicule or criticism. Some fans might casually call their favorite female character in a game or anime their waifu, but others are more earnest about it, viewing their waifu as part of their life. For these people, their feelings, even though they're well aware the character is fictional, are serious. Body pillows, resin figures, and other merchandise are popular with those who feel this way about their favorite character. A character who is intentionally created to be lovable, perfect, and generally attractive to the viewer can be referred to as waifu bait on the model of words like jailbait. So, yeah. And, of course, I'm not showing my waifu right now at all. No, that's not what's going on.
So what's the cutesy version that is like the modern iteration of that historical lesson that we just saw?
Yep. What? Oh, hold on. Sorry. Let me get back to the thing. All right. So, what was your question?
My question is, what is the cutesy modern iteration of the waifu historical lesson we just heard?
Okay, so here's the thing. Waifus have no real, like, honestly, they go beyond just the... All right, let me back up a little bit. Anything, any girl or woman can be a waifu, okay? Any character can be a waifu that is female and is beloved. For instance, we could say Bayonetta is a waifu. We could say Lara Croft is a waifu. We could say Samus Aran is a waifu. Jessica Rabbit is a waifu to some. There are a lot of waifus.
Right, I got that part, but I thought, like, the modern waifus all seem to, like, follow a pretty common
thread. I'll explain.
And I think you mentioned it, like it's a cutesy version of a waifu. And that's what I was interested in.
I will explain.
Like, what's the trend use of it right now?
Moe. It has to deal with Moe. Moe. Will it say it?
Moe.
It will. Oh, wow. It'll actually say it in Japanese.
Moe.
Okay. Sometimes romanticizes Moe is a Japanese word that refers to feelings of strong affection, mainly towards characters in anime, manga, video games, and other media directed at the otaku market. I did not fucking know that. Moe, however, has also gained usage to refer to feelings of affection towards any subject. I didn't know that. I thought Moe literally fucking meant cutesy. But no, it seems to mean any kind of romanticized feelings towards characters. Well, shit. Grim learned something today. Moe is related to neoteny and the feeling of cuteness a character can evoke. The word Moe originated in the late 1980s and in the early 1990s in Japan, and it is of uncertain origin. Although there are several theories on how it came into use, Moe characters have expanded through Japanese media and the concept has been commercialized. Contests both online and in the real world exist for Moe-styled things, including one run by one of the Japanese game rating boards. Various notable commentators such as Tamaki Saito, Hiroki Izuma, and Kazuya Tsurumaki have also given their take on Moe and its meaning. Let's see here. It's like a pseudo-romance, but it's not always seen
as romance. Is that like the same thing as kawaii?
No, I think you're actually more what I'm looking for. No. All right, kawaii. That's what I'm looking for. Okay. I thought it was going to pronounce it. I guess it won't. Okay, anyway, kawaii or kawaii, whatever you want to call it, cute or adorable, is a Japanese cultural phenomenon which emphasizes cuteness, childlike innocence, charm, and simplicity. Kawaii culture began to flourish in the 1970s. I didn't know that. Driven by youth culture and the rise of cute characters in manga and anime. And merchandise, exemplified by the creation of Hello Kitty by Sanrio in 74.
Yep, I was about to say Hello Kitty.
The kawaii aesthetic is characterized by soft or pastel colors, rounded shapes and features which evoke vulnerability such as big eyes and small mouths. And it has become a prominent aspect of Japanese popular culture, influencing entertainment, including toys and idols, fashion, such as Lolita fashion, advertising, and product design. The word kawaii originally derives from the phrase kahayoshi, which literally means one's face is aglow, commonly used to refer to flushing or blushing of the face. The second morpheme is cognate with bayou, and mabayoi, which means dazzling, glaring, blinding, too bright, dazzling, beautiful. Ma is for me, I, and hayu and omahayu. I'm not Japanese, guys. Embarrassed, embarrassing, awkward, feeling self-conscious, making one feel self-conscious. Omo is from omo, an archaic word for face, features, surface, image, semblance, vestige. Over time, the meaning changed into the modern meaning of cute or pretty, and the pronunciation changed to kawaii, and then to the modern kawaii. It is commonly written in hiragana, but the ateji is also frequently used. The romanized kanji in the ateji literally translates to able to love, be loved, can, may, love, or lovable. Okay, there's like 100 million things on this. But, yeah, it's basically, the way I look at the waifu is a romanticized or idealized version of a woman. Obviously, all characters are fictionalized representations of people. You know, they all represent people, unless they represent monster people, and that's a completely different subject. We won't be getting into that today, but, Yeah. Usually it's people. Samus Aran represents a person. Now, yes, she's Space Jesus. We won't get into that. But a lot of people use these characters to represent other people. They're like Superman is supposed to be, even though he's from Krypton, he looks like a human being. He looks like an Earthling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with, you know, a lot of these characters, any of these characters are supposed, are they're just fantasized versions. You know, like you have the, let's look at My Hero Academia. You have this guy like All Might, and he's this huge muscular, you know, and I'm pretty sure the mangaka that drew that guy is not even a bit like of a gym bro. Like, I'm just saying.
Right.
So, but yeah, like I'm saying, yeah, it's all fantasized versions of characters, right? Goes back to fucking Conan, mm-hmm. You know, Conan. Robert E. Howard was a pretty stout guy, but Conan was this huge, muscular, barbarian warrior. Like, I mean, yes, Howard was a boxer. He's a fucking, you know, strong dude, but he wasn't Conan. You know?
Conan was hot.
So what I'm saying is, all these characters that we create are fantasized versions of people. That's literally all they are. So, you know, guys are basically going after this. A lot of the times the women don't want them because they're interested in the husbando. I wonder what some of these husbandos look like. I bet I know. Let's see.
Make me think of Zorro.
Alright. Yaoi male love interest. I'm looking at some anime husbandos right now. These are what the ladies are kind of into. We got Inagi Seishiro, Nanami Kento. Yeah, these are the ones that they like. Jinshi. I know Levi Ackerman. Yeah, I know a lot of these characters. Some of these characters I do know because they're from video games and not just anime itself. So, yeah, I see. They also have a similar look. But there are women, femcel girls, or fujos. Not all of them are femcels. Some of them are married, and they still have their husbandos. We don't want to go into that. But, yeah, that's the female equivalent of the waifu, is the husbando. So, I'm showing off a lot of these in the video. By the way, if you ever want to, you can always look at the channel to see the actual footage that goes along with some of this. So, I can actually show you.
Does this go live on the channel?
It does, but it goes live, you know, later on. Like, the last video we did goes up tomorrow. The video we did last week, it goes up on Tuesday. So I always do it like a day, you know, a week behind. We're always a week behind on these. So that's how I do it. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of these husbandos. There's so many of them. Okay. So that's 30 anime husbandos, and they look exactly like I thought they would. But yeah, I mean,
just send them to me, please, because I can't see it.
Pretty boy, slightly muscled, but not too muscled. Usually kind of, shit, is there any way I'm trying to figure out how in the world I can actually get this. I'll send you some images, save for work stuff, so you can see. I'll send you this link. I'll keep it on my computer and just send it over. You can check your DMs. And
No.
Huh?
No. Sorry. Give me a second. I'm sorry. Hang on 1 second.
You're good. But yeah, that's literally what we're talking about. We're just gonna wait 1 second while she gets good. Because the footage is... Okay, all right. So, guys, while we have a spare moment, I'm going to tell you that the footage is going to start changing from random game to random game. I think I may have already said this before, but I'm saying it again. After this, I think it's just going to be, holy shit, Grim, what the hell are you playing? It's literally everything I played in 2022. Some of these games I've actually completed. Some of them I haven't. So, if you see something you like this... Yeah, I'm playing this right now, but I'm not, like, just to show you guys, I'm not going back to this game until after I finish the Ease games, alright? I'm playing Ease 8, and when I get done with this conversation, that's what I'm gonna go do. But, this one here, if you like Persona, it's like that with Ease. You know, you get to hit the enemies. It's a really, really fun game. I highly recommend it. Alright, but I'm just showing these, just letting these guys know, because there's game footage that's going to be playing, you know, or has always played since we've done these videos. But, yeah, that's pretty much what we're talking about here. These guys are just obsessed with these waifus, and, because they're obsessed with the waifus, they're not interested in the girls. They have so many different waifus, and the game constantly makes them... Like, they spend all kinds of money on these gacha games. They spend money buying these things for waifus. They spend so much money on these virtual things that don't exist. Yeah, it's a real thing. I don't want to say their waifu doesn't exist, but I'm just saying it's... You know, for some people that aren't into the whole otaku thing... It's just, it's bizarre to spend hundreds of thousands of, yes, I'm not even lying, that kind of money on these games and these characters. Genshin Impact is real popular on that. Look up Genshin Impact. Look up Hoyoverse. Hoyoverse would be really good for that. That's what'll, yeah. But we're gonna have to go ahead and cut this one, because we've ran out of time, unfortunately.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna go ahead and end it here, and basically, guys, we will see you next time. I guess we can continue the conversation from where we were, unless something earth shattering.
My dinner's ready now, so that works out. And yeah, we have a lot of good stuff to touch on next time. So
all right, yeah.
Stay tuned.
All right, it'll be good. All right, I'll see you guys later. I'm out.
Yeah, bye.